Good evening, Antes. Wonderful to be here with you, and may also convey the greetings and the brotherly love from my home denomination, the Presbyterian Church of Eastern Australia. Well, my dear friends, it doesn't really matter how young or how old you and I are. One thing that we all face as we live in this 21st century world is that we are busy, often if not all the time. And if we think about it, what an irony it is as we live in a land of prosperity and abundance. We all seem to experience time poverty. And yes, we may enjoy a moment or two of peace and quiet, but then not long after we return to the mill of life with a list of undone and forgotten tasks. And in fact, in a world of busyness, the modern world, the modern mindset of many is that the busier the person gets, the higher the status the person is perceived to have by others. And this is why there are people who would boast on social media, Facebook, whatever internet platforms, complaining about how busy they are. Or perhaps I'm sure many of us have heard of others saying to us at times, especially when we go on holidays and we hear from someone else and they say, "Well, that's great, you're going on holiday. I wish I could go as well, I'm just too busy." And maybe we ourselves say that to others as well. And I'm sure there are many moments in our own lives, in the midst of our busyness, we want to shut our doors and we would wish to be alone. And this is certainly not just a teenager phenomenon. We shut our door when we have some special work to do and to get on, something that has been put off for so long and that we cannot delay any longer. And in those times, we may say to our loved ones and family members, we say, "Well, call me another time. I can't talk right now. I have something important to do. Maybe we can meet up tomorrow." And in those times, our minds are focusing on the one thing only. And nothing could be more important than that which we are dealing with. And it could be very many things. It could be something in the family, something that we want to do for our loved ones, or for a task or a deadline that we have in our work or study. And we simply cannot put that off any longer. And we know and we feel that urgency. And there can be no more postponing at all. And all we need is that absolute concentration in order to get the job done. Time and space must be set apart for that task. And yes, there can be a variety of reasons why we must shut the door in this world of busyness. However, there is a greater reason that every child of God is given to shut the door for. And that reason is far greater than that in the household, than that in business, or even in our education. And that is concerning your and my spiritual life. And so what is it? What is it that is so urgent that the world is worth being shut out for? It is prayer. It is prayer. To be alone with the Lord in the secret place for private prayer. And it is that which the world has no time for, yet the Lord in his word calls us for. And so, my dear friends, what do you and I know about this secret place of prayer? Well, let us turn back to the chapter we read earlier in Matthew's Gospel, and the sermon for this prayer meeting is this: the Christian secret place of prayer. The Christian secret place of prayer. And by God's grace and with his help, We shall be looking at verses 5 to 8 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. And we shall do so under the four thoughts. Firstly, the necessity of secret prayer. Secondly, the heart of secret prayer. Thirdly, the manner of secret prayer. And fourthly and finally, the reason for secret prayer. The Christian secret place of prayer. The necessity of it, the heart of it, the manner of it, and finally, the reason for it. My friends, the question that comes to all of us this evening is this. Why should we? Why must we pray? Indeed, more specifically, why is prayer necessary for the Christians? Why is it necessary for the believer? Perhaps this is not a question that we often ask ourselves, but it is a very important, practical question nevertheless. Maybe this is a question that our children and young people, or even our unbelieving friends, may have asked us before. Now, how do you and I answer that? Because we are living in a world and society which is increasingly multicultural and multi-faith. But at the same time, because of the rampant influence of materialism and atheism, and the society, I'm sure yours as well has experienced that, less and less religious. And many these days would say, well, what is the point of prayer? What does it do? What does it really do? Some even dare say it is worse than talking to yourself. It doesn't do anything at all. See, they may say, well, I don't believe in God anyway. And certainly not someone who gives and who hears, who answers prayer. Yet they may also say, with a spirit of postmodernism, they may say, well, though I don't believe in prayer, but if that works for you, if that makes you happy and content, and that your difficult life seems more bearable, then, well, you just need to do whatever you need to do. And so, dear people of God, do you and I, how do we respond to these things? And truly, do we know the necessity of prayer? What does it do? And why is it important? And this is what we can see as we come to this chapter, chapter 6 in Matthew's Gospel. In the first part, we have the Lord Jesus exposing the falsehood, not only in the beliefs, but also the practices of the religious leaders and teachers of Israel, namely the Pharisees and the scribes. And many of us here may remember how these religious teachers had the wrong and perverse view and understanding of the law of God. And their teaching is not just affecting they themselves, but the people of Israel. And even in their approach in religious activities, not only in the area of giving, but also in how they view and use the means of prayer. But the Lord Jesus here is revealing the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees. He is showing his disciples and the people then that no one, not even us, can be justified by the works of the law. And in all of this, the Lord Jesus is doing so out of love for the people of Israel, out of love for the scribes and Pharisees. In other words, all along, the Lord Jesus has a burden for their souls, and so has he for ours also this evening. The reason why the Lord Jesus had to confront the false interpretation, the deceitful practices of the religious leaders and teachers, was to again and again to show them and us the great need for the Savior of sinners. And my dear friends, do we notice in this passage from verses 5 to 8, it is not just about whether we pray or not, but about why we pray. My dear brothers and sisters, don't we need to ask that very question? Because if we are honest with ourselves, It is very easy for us as churchgoers and to say that, well, we pray because we just have to. Or we pray because it is a Christian thing to do. And we can so easily get out an answer like this without truly thinking about why and the reason for it. Why do you and I need it? Because as we see in verse 5, the first part it says, when you pray, the Lord said, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. Friends, here we are told that the scribes and the Pharisees, they needed to pray too. In fact, they would know so much about the words, the forms, as well as the postures of praying, more than we do as believers. And it is not the frequency, it is not the occasions for prayers either. Those religious teachers saw prayer as so very necessary, yet, as we will find out, God willing, it is from a wrong motive. And so for the Christian believer, why do we pray? Indeed, there are so many reasons, but I would like to mention the two primary ones. Firstly, it is a command given by God. Friends, do we notice this 31st part of verse 5? The Lord Jesus didn't say, well, if you ever pray, or if you manage to pray. No, not at all. The Lord Jesus says to his disciples, then and now, is this, when you pray. And in the Greek, the grammar there is imperative. In other words, it is a divine instruction given to the people of God by the King of Kings himself. Even in Psalm 50, the psalm we sang earlier, we have this command from the Lord as well. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. And secondly, there's a helpful catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45, reminds us, it says, because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness which God requires of us. My dear beloved in the Lord, the other reason for prayer is to express our thankfulness to God. Perhaps many a time, our prayers may convey many words of petition and request in times of difficulty, in times of adversity, and that we can be so forgetful in thanking the Lord and praising him, even for answering our prayers in the past. And yes, we may know that we ought to give thanks in the head, but in our heart, there can be that sense of gratitude seems to slip away. Friends, whether we are converted in this place or not, all of us have been given so much, much to be thankful to the Lord for. Remember, his goodness is shown to both the just and the unjust. Everything that we have and enjoy is a reason for us to engage in prayer. Even the breath that we take in. The Puritan said, Thomas Watson, we draw in, every time we breathe, we draw in mercy. And so even the physical strength that we have been given to rise up in the morning and to even to come into the house of God even this evening, are these not reasons for us to engage in prayer? Or are we thinking otherwise, that those of these things are simply down to us? And how much more so it is for you and for me, dear believers in the Lord Jesus, as recipients, tasting and enjoying Christ's saving grace and goodness towards us. He has been providing for us without fail, keeping us in the palm of his hand. How we absolutely need to depend upon him for all things. Are there not more reasons for us to praise him? To express our longing for him, especially in prayer. In other words, for the true believer, the sense of necessity for prayer grows, that sense grows as we live our lives by the grace of God. The more we know, the more we experience that grace, the greater that necessity becomes. And so, my dear beloved in the Lord, does this statement ring true in your and my hearts even this evening? Friends, do we notice in here also, the Lord Jesus is not asking his disciples as a group or regarding public prayers or in public gatherings. No, throughout this passage, it is the singular you, thou in the authorized version. In other words, the Lord Jesus is addressing whether or not you and I as his disciples, do I and do you know this secret prayer? Do we know of this necessity in the heart? And that leads us to consider the heart of secret prayer. And we can read verse 5 once again. The Lord says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. My friends, as mentioned before, the scribes and the Pharisees made use of prayer as well. And here the Lord Jesus is not forbidding us of making use of public prayers, nor is he forbidding us of praying in certain locations. No, he has once again gone to the matter of the heart, And he's addressing the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the scribes. Friends, do we remember what the word hypocrisy truly means? It is a word for actor or acting in the Greek, putting a mask on to act the part. And so they were not just acting in giving, in their giving, but also in prayer as well. The people at that time in Israel, the people admired them, because they seemed very pious. To what extent? That not a single day goes by when they are not down the street, around the corner, when the trumpet sounds for the time of prayer. Always ready to raise their hands up to utter the words of prayer. Looking into heaven and boasting in all that they have done and how good they themselves are. And this is why the Lord Jesus calls them hypocrites. They are not what they pretend to be. And the whole time, whether it is on the street or in the synagogue, there is but one reason for them to pray. The one reason, to be seen by men. And this is the same word for to be seen by men. This word in Greek is for theater. In other words, they were up for a show. They pray, and the words of prayers, they were not aimed at the ears of God, but the ears and the eyes of men and women, even the places of worship. They were no exception to their hypocrisy. And do we see the heart of hypocrisy there? Yes, their eyes may be closed when they pray, and their ears are wide open. And it is the praise of man that they live for, to be seen, to be honored by them. And what does the Lord say? They have their reward. They have got what their heart desired. They relish the praise of men, and they have got it. And do we see that within this heart there is a love? There's a love in that heart. Of the Pharisee and the scribe. Not a love for God, but for self. And the Puritan Thomas Brooks rightly puts it. He says, self is the only oil which makes the chariot wheels of the hypocrite move in all religious concernments. But my dear friends, do we see that too? We too can be prone to this hypocrisy. The oil of self. Even in the area of prayer, it is so easy for us to have our words aimed at the ears and the approval of others and not directed to God. Isn't it true, even as believers, we can be so taken up by the concerns about how others would perceive us when we pray, what they would think of me, and not whether it pleases the Lord. And once again, the Lord Jesus is not forbidding us to pray in public, but he is addressing the heart, that you and I pray, we can be prone, we can be fallen into the temptation to fall into that sin, to pray in public for the wrong reasons, with a wrong heart, with a hardened heart, with a self-loving heart. And the Lord Jesus is saying to his disciples then and now, even as this evening, that this is not how it should be in your or my life. And so, my friends, what is prayer to you and to me? Is it simply confined to public prayers? Maybe prayers uttered at the dining table, or times of our family worship church services, or other occasions praying for the sick? Simply a routine, that there is nothing more than an exercise of our lips, and that our hearts know nothing about the true prayer. And yes, we might not have that desire or craving for the praise of men, but do we simply do those things just to get by, that others would approve of us? Is that the reason why we pray? If that is the case, that is no different from the scribes and the Pharisees. And what we need is not the outward improvement, but the inward transforming, saving grace of the Lord Jesus. But to the people of God, those who know something of that transformation, the Lord is saying to us individually in verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Friends, the Lord Jesus here is addressing whether your and my heart has a place, a secret place of prayer. He is speaking of the privacy of our own prayer closet, as it were. Our private walk, our secret prayer life, being the fountain out of which comes the public religious life. And in those days, the Jews would know where the Lord Jesus was talking about, because in those days it was very common to have a room on the rooftop, like a porch. The upper room of the house, the place of retirement. And the Lord is asking, do we have such a place to retire from the world and to be alone with God in prayer? And indeed, it doesn't have to be a particular room or a physical closet. But the Lord is speaking of a place in which we can be alone with the Most High, without the presence of others, without the watchful eyes and the listening ears of other creatures. Dear beloved, do we have such a place to go to? Is that our favorite place? Do we pray more in that prayer room than in public? Or is it the other way around? And if that is the case, are we heeding the words of the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus is saying that his disciples will not pray in the showy fashion of the scribes and Pharisees, but they must always pray in private, in that secret place. And not only that, he is saying that make sure you have shut your door. And this part of verse 6 gives us the imagery of a key is used to shut the door. In other words, the Lord is saying to his disciples that nothing is there to distract you and me. We are to shut the world out. And it is a command, but it is also an invitation from the Lord. Even we can see that in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20, it says, come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment. Dear beloved, one of the marks of true grace in the believer's heart is to have such a desire to enter into that secret place of prayer. A true Christian can never live without that secret place. And so, dear believers, do we know of that? Have we experienced that sweet and close communion with the Lord in that secret place? When was the last time you and I were in it? Was it last night? Was it early this morning? Has it been rather too long that we cannot remember then when? And how sad it is that the children of God know very well the motions and the procedures of shutting doors in our own homes and not having the world shut out, and to have worldliness to entertain us and to comfort and to console us even. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, the word of God is showing you and me it is a very dangerous path that we are treading on if we entertain worldliness in this way. It is never good to refrain. It's never good enough to simply refrain from the extreme form of worldliness only. And how true it is that shutting the door to the world does not necessarily mean that we are godly if we are not seeking the Lord. And so, dear believers, has that secret place of prayer, has that place become a dusty place? Has it become foreign to us? If that is the case, do we grieve even this evening over the fact that we have allowed ourselves to distance ourselves from that sweet and close communion with the Lord, our Heavenly Father? Think about it. If a fish cannot live long out of water, a true Christian likewise cannot live without that constant communion with God in that secret place of prayer. Dear people of God, do we see how this call to go to that secret place alone with the Lord, this call is so very relevant to you and me in this 21st century? This world of busyness and distractions, the world that we live in is more distracting than ever before. Literally, we can find thousands of distractions in the palm of our hands. They can be found on our smartphones, TV remotes, and keyboards. And distractions are some of the devices used by the evil one to keep the children of God out of that place of prayer. And so, dear child of God, have we been awakened by the Holy Spirit of God to truly see the need for that secret place? That need is non-negotiable for those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. But my friends, if we don't know such a need, if we don't have that desire to pour out our hearts before the Lord, then we have every reason to doubt whether we belong to Him in the first place. Friends, remember someone, Saul of Tarsus, the Pharisee of Pharisees. He too prayed so many times, but he never truly prayed until when? Until the day on the road to Damascus when he was brought to that secret place to encounter the Lord. It was the first time he prayed. And do we remember another person, Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, how he too was a man of prayer, how he too knew well that secret place. Even in the Old Testament, even Daniel of old in Babylon, we are told in Daniel 6 that how many times he prayed a day? 3 times a day. And so, dear beloved, are we not living in a foreign land spiritually? And if Daniel saw the need to seek the Lord in that secret place, then how can we not? And why should we not seek the God of grace, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort in Jesus Christ? And indeed, hasn't our Lord laid down a pattern for us, even in Matthew 14, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up onto the mountain to pray. Now when the evening came, he was alone there. And what about in the Garden of Gethsemane? Wasn't he alone with the Father in prayer? And how do we enter that place? Where is that, or what is the manner of that secret prayer? Well, we enter in with that sincerity of heart and that singleness of mind. And this is when we see, dear believers, that's the blessing. We see the blessing of such a command. Because in a public place, no matter how hard we try, there is a tendency for us in whatever we say or do to create an impression on others, whether we do that consciously or unconsciously. But that is not so when you and I are truly alone with the Lord. Because we know that we cannot fool him. We come knowing that he is the omnipotent, the omniscient one. In other words, he is the all-knowing, all-present one. And in that secret place of prayer, we stand spiritually naked. And dear child of God, is in that place we know that everything is only heard by God. And at times, don't we know of the struggle for words? We may be fluent and articulate in other times of prayer, but there are times we could do nothing but groan and sigh, as there is no pretense in that very secret place. All things are known to him, and to be face to face with him renders us speechless. And we see how true and how real that spiritual poverty in our own selves, along with our besetting sins being made aware, we find ourselves so very vulnerable. But yet, there is comfort to the true child of God, because the Lord Jesus is saying to us, this is the place that you will find your heavenly Father. Oh, dear beloved, do we know of that comfort? We may have gone to that place, that secret place, with our worries, with trembling fear, perhaps. But yet, when we are there, when we commune with God in Jesus Christ, what do we find? And who do we find? We don't find him who is ready to consume us, but our merciful God and loving Father. Do we know of that in our own experience? To know the wonder of that secret place, to find his all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerfulness, not terrifying, but absolutely comforting to the soul. To know that he knows every single struggle and difficulty that we face, and every single need that we have, and every strength that we need. And to know that he is always ready to help, to guide and to sustain his feeble and weak children. Do we know of this comfort? My dear friends, you and I can call upon God as our Father if we truly know his Son savingly and experientially. Do we have then that hunger and thirst after Christ? Do we go into that secret place by the grace of God, by faith alone, as guilty, defiled sinners? Just as someone else, just like the tax collector, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so, my friends, is that the manner in which we enter into that secret place of prayer? But what if some of us here are struggling to come to terms with this command? What if we still have our own reservation, even objection, and maybe I'll just mention too, what if some of us here say, well, I have no time for that secret place because I'm so busy with my work and life? Then, my brothers and sisters, do we truly see then the necessity of this secret prayer life? It is concerning the salvation of our souls, the good of our souls. There is no greater duty called by God than this duty of private prayer, enabled by his grace. In comparison, all the other works, all the other duties are small and insignificant. And do we not have that concern for our own souls? In fact, isn't it foolishness to look for the blessing upon our family and work without prayer? If we truly believe that he is the fountain of all blessings and the giver of all good things. and to be reminded, isn't time a creation of the Lord? And the second objection we may have, we may say, well, since God knows all things, well, he knows the heart also. Well, why do we need to engage in prayer in secret? Well, we're saying that as if he doesn't, well, and they may say, as if God doesn't know what we need and where we would be. And they will get down on our knees and tell him. What's the point, they may say? Friends, if we think like that, then we don't understand. The reason that we pray is not to inform God of the things we want, as if he doesn't know anything. No, rather we go because this is the way ordained by God. It's his way to grant blessings upon poor sinners like us. And to refuse to seek him in prayer in secret is disobedience. It is calling the wisdom of God foolishness. And this is painful presumption, sinful presumption. And this means of grace is for both the glory of his name and our eternal good. And God is delighted in his children using this means. We may think of our own parenting. Dear parents, don't we take delight in our children coming to us, expressing their needs and that dependency upon us and how much they want and they need us, even though we know what exactly they need? We love it. We are delighted by them coming. And how much more so for our Heavenly Father to hear the desperate cry and needs of his children in that secret place of prayer when we pour out our hearts before him. And so, my dear friends, have we truly considered why there can be this meeting place between God and a guilty sinner? Because if we think about it, before the fall, it was a holy God and a holy people. No disruption in that perfect meeting place. But now, how can we stand? How can we meet with God who is holy and righteous, who can never overlook sin? There is only one reason. And one reason only, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because on Calvary's cross, God the Father shut the door on his beloved Son. And the wrath of God was poured out upon him. Dear people of God, remember Isaiah 53. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Dear beloved, do we know what truly a blessing it is, what a privilege it is to have this secret place of prayer? It came at such a high cost, the shed blood of Christ. And this is why Christ wants his people, his citizens, his beloved to go into that secret place again and again to meet his Father, because for his sake, dear child of God, his Father is your God and Father. We can call upon him. We can have every confidence that he will answer us because of his Son. Yes, we enter as poor and needy sinners. But for Christ's sake, by his grace, we enter in as princes and princesses, children of the great King. We enter as the beloved of Christ. And so, dear people of God, where do we go later on after this meeting? Where do we go even tomorrow morning? Are we not encouraged then to go into that, to enter into that secret place, to meet with our Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus by the Spirit's grace in that secret place of prayer? May the Lord help us. Amen. Well, let us pray. O Sovereign and Almighty God, we come humbly before you to ask that thou wouldst be pleased to grant us that spirit of prayer and supplication. Grant us that grace and mercy, that not only for returning our own homes, but also returning to that secret place of prayer. O our Heavenly Father, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would remind us of what a blessing it is to have this means of grace. And may that secret place of prayer become the sweetest place, the most frequently visited place in our own homes. But that it would be also the place where we may find a sweet communion with you, O God. And we humbly ask that you would help us to see and to make use that blessing to your glory and our eternal good. So go before us and abide with us and grant us many traveling mercies and pardon our sins, for we ask all these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Conclude our prayer meeting by singing from the Scottish Psalter, Psalm 17. Psalm 17, and we shall be singing from verses 1 and 2, and then 5 to 9. Verses 1 to 2, and then 5 to 9. Lord, hear the right, attend my cry, unto my prayer give heed, that doth not in hypocrisy from feigned lips proceed, and from before thy presence forth my sentence do thou send, toward these things that equal are, do thou in thy eyes intend. Hold up my goings, Lord, me guide in those thy paths divine, so that my footsteps may not slide out of those ways of thine. I have on thee, O Lord, O God, because thou wilt me hear, that thou mayest hearken to my speech, to me incline thine ear. So unto verse 9, and may we stand and sing to God's praise.
Lord, hear the right, attend my cry, unto thy spirit give heed, and not in hypocrisy.
So now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.